Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Laurie and Lynn Show. Today, our girlfriend Lynn Evans is not with us. Lynn is away. I don't know what the heck she's doing. She knows she tells me, and it just goes right out of my mind.
She's going up to Boston to that.
So you know more than I do.
Some women's networking thing.
Okay.
Is it?
I don't know.
Wasn't she selected for it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Is that this
because
one?
Of the book? And okay. Yeah, that's what she told me she was going to be doing.
All right. Then
that's a great honor.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, she's a good girl. You know, she's a terrific lady, someone who's done a lot, someone who's been...
Accomplished.
Yes. Someone who could run for president of the United States.
Even accomplished women don't necessarily win.
Correct. You know, Barbara, I have to say, first of all, joining me is attorney Barbara J. O'Hara, who is one of our sponsors this week. So Barbara greatly, I shouldn't say greatly, Barbara has greatly helped me by coming in for the whole hour with me, but
it's
graciously accepted an invitation, I should say, to
my
be
pleasure,
here with us, so with me, because Lynn isn't here. Hi, Lynn, in the vacant chair over there. So Barbara's here. And you know, Barbara, I have to say this, you know, we try as best we can, we try to stay on topic on this show, and
yes,
we don't really get overly political, although we are bleeding heart liberals, but we try to honor, you know, not get into the political stuff because it can be very divisive, and we, you know, we have to respect everybody for where they stand and who mm-hmm. they support, and I get that. So we try not to do that, but that being said, every now and then it'll slip out. But I'm not letting this one go because I think that it is, I know so many women who have called me in the last couple of days or who I've spoken to who have cried on Tuesday night.
I did.
Cried Tuesday morning, including myself. Cried today. Just when you think about things, when you read these stories. I mean, I read today in the newspaper, which we're taping on Thursday, Garrison Keillor wrote, you know, from the Washington Post, wrote, they want
column.
Change, boy, are they going to get it? That is, everybody has to read. It is it's wonderful, but he's great anyway. I did not read Maureen Dowd yet. I have to read her. But because I don't know what she says. I know she wasn't a big fan of the Clintons. I don't know what she says.
She's not a big fan of the Clintons.
Or Trump. But I don't know what she said. But beside, the thing is that it is so sad for women. And I was watching the Today Show this morning, and mm-hmm. they had some, you know, excerpts of the late night talk show host, and one of them was very poignant, and it was Seth Meyers, who I really don't stay up to watch, but I do
what
like him.
Say?
And he was saying, and he sort of choked up when he was talking about it, that, you know, to all of the women out there, don't lose hope. Don't give up. You know, someone will rise up and someone will be able to break that glass ceiling. He didn't say these exact words, but what he said was, I hope in my lifetime someone does it. And then this is when he choked up. He said, my mother was so thrilled to go and cast her vote. She was so thrilled to do it. And he said, I hope in my mother's lifetime that she can see a woman that qualified become the president of the United States. And even when I took my mother to vote, which I never do, she always goes by herself, but she had her hip replaced in March and she mm-hmm. fell twice, so she's a little unsteady. So we went over to the Isaac Tripp Elementary, where my mom votes in Westside, and it was packed. And so they helped us because she was had to mm-hmm. stand there. So I went over to her and she sat with her and she circled those circles mm-hmm. for Hillary Clinton and Katie McGinty. And I said, Mom, because I totally believed she would be making. I said, Mom, do you realize at the age of 79, you're making history? You are casting a vote in a history-making election. for both a woman who would win for Senate, the first woman, and a woman president of the United States. And I felt so proud that my mother at 79 could witness that. And here I am at 55 thinking I wanted, you know, I was so proud of it. So,
and my mother's
so 92, close.
And she won't. I don't think she'll see it.
No, but it's
that's so sad.
It's sad because we've worked so hard to be in that position and to have somebody who is the single most qualified. I don't care what she does, what you don't like about her, what she, any of that stuff aside, I love she is the most qualified person.
She and is. The fact and that unfortunately that was used against her.
Exactly. And her husband's baggage and all this other stuff. Do men's wives' baggage carry with them when they run?
I've never seen that.
Is Donald Trump's wife baggage being carried into the White House? No. Maybe it will come out. But the point is,
and
who cares? What? They don't care.
Multiple weddings, multiple marriages.
I know, children from different wives. I know. And I'm not that there's anything wrong with that either.
No, but you see the double standard.
Exactly.
And you look at this, and the one article that I read where they were saying, here's Hillary, and she allowed her husband to cheat.
Yeah, please.
Trust me, women
and you know in your business,
their husbands to cheat, but women stay, and they stay for different reasons.
And I have to tell you, Barbara, when I did not see her while she made her concession speech, but I, you know, YouTubed it to see it. And when I watched it, and you could see Bill in the background and the quivering in her face, she was actually so real during that, delivering that speech. And you could see the pain. You could see what...
Yeah, it was palpable.
It was, yes. And it's not her... what he did or didn't do is not her problem. Her problem was what she tried to do was be the president of the United States, not just because she's a woman, but because she was a woman who was qualified. And until we as women get together and support each other as a woman,
right, it
is never going to change, because you saw how many white, uneducated men and women who are uneducated as well, in large part, that's what the statistics say. I'm not saying this. This is what I read. Are the ones who voted in favor of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Women need to support women, especially in her case.
You know what? That's what I don't understand, because I talked to some women to see what the reason was, and one woman said to me, I don't care what he does in his personal life. And I thought, wait a minute, that says who you are. So the fact that he thought it was okay if he grabbed women, or he walked in a room to all these beauty contestants, and because he was the owner, he could go in there while they were naked and ogle these women, some of them that are minors. And I thought, what do you mean you don't care what he does in his personal life? That shows the kind of person you are. That shows your character. And I thought, well, what are we electing anyway? Are we electing the person? I mean, certainly these same people would not say, oh, it's a good thing to elect his policies, because, you know,
well,
the policies you see aren't necessarily something to say, wouldn't that be great to have 21 million people now uninsured? And that's where we're going.
I know. And I know people who have cancer and other illnesses who never could be, or their premiums were out through the roof.
Remember the days where there was a pre-existing condition.
Right.
And you couldn't get
insurance. Exactly. That's my point. Now they're covered. So
yes.
I don't know all about, I'm not going to sit here and profess I understand Obamacare. I don't. I don't use it. I don't know that much about it. But I know people who do and people who love it. I know people who hate it. So
well,
I'm not going there.
There's 21 million people that are now insured that were not
insured.
That
weren't before. And that is the biggest difference. However, all I'm saying is, as women, if we don't support one another as women and vote and lift other women up and help them get to these positions, when there's 6, 7, 8 people running against each other in the primary and they're all women, then you can say, I like her better than her, or I like you. It's just like everyone else does. But until that point, we are never going to be elevated into the position of the presidency unless we as women vote for women and help each other out. I don't care how that sounds. Women need to support women. Most of the time, women are their own worst enemies, and they really.
Unfortunately, I think that's historic.
Yes,
because
it's
historic.
Women
end up competing against other women, and whether it's for the attention of a man or whatever,
it's natural.
And in a very unhealthy way.
Yeah, but it is a
men
natural
will compete
thing.
In sports. Not that many women necessarily compete in sports, but they'll compete for a man.
I know,
and it becomes very divisive.
But it is what we used to do. It's what we just do. It is instinctual.
That's not right.
Right. I'm just saying, for this, let's look at this differently. And when I saw these women interviewed who voted for Trump and the stuff they were saying, I just couldn't believe they actually were saying it. Just stupid reasons. Like, it was just we need change. We need this. What change? You needed change 8 years ago, wasn't it? With hope and change with Barack Obama? Isn't that what everybody voted for? Mm-hmm. So, and now they're doing nothing but complain about him? What change? What is really going to happen? What?
Well, you're because not going to bring the mines back. You're not going to bring the steel mill back. You're not going to bring those things back. And all the things he promised to, quote, get change, they're not feasible.
Mm-hmm. And people feeling, I guess the general consensus is that people feel disenfranchised. And so those people who have felt that way aren't making any money, aren't. But what are they doing to make more money? What is it they're doing or not doing? But, you know, Hillary and Bill Clinton didn't start out rich. They started out both poor. They had to work their way to get where they are, just like everybody else does. Don't complain about it. Do something about it. It's just, it's all I want to talk about, really, is that women. And we need more women. This just, it makes me so angry when I sat and listened and I thought, this is why women don't get into politics. This is the reason they don't do it, because the support dwindles. People say they're going to support you. They don't. And it all starts from they have to put up with the BS of everything they're blamed for their husband's stuff or this, that, and the other. Yes. It's constant.
Yes.
And it's why women stay away from running and being involved in politics. And we need more qualified women to step up, both from a local level all the way up to the presidency. And women need to support those women to do it and not rip them apart.
Yeah. And you know what? I listen to people to try to understand their rationale, and time again, it comes back to they're never going to vote for any woman.
Well, and that's my point.
Right. Whether they're female or male, they're not going to vote for any woman. And you look at this woman and say, hey, wow, she was a senator during a difficult time in New York State. She was Secretary of State. I mean, I saw her when she was in Nairobi on a five-country African trip. And if Trump was talking about stamina, oh, my gosh.
She's traveled the furthest of any Secretary of State. And she was in the White House as First Lady for 8 years. She knows everybody by name. She knows I don't get. And I don't even care about Donald Trump as Donald Trump. I don't care. But he's unqualified. That is the thing that I don't get, where you could take the difference between the two, forget ones, whatever it is.
No, but when you run a campaign based on degrading and disrespecting all of these groups.
And then you win. How do you win?
Because the people who aren't in those groups voted for you.
Well, I have to tell you the other thing. My son's girlfriend is doing TFA, Teach for America, for 2 years. Mm-hmm. She and another high school friend of my son's were petrified to go into school the next day, terrified, I should say, because they didn't know how or what to say to these children that they're teaching in Center City and Louisiana school districts. They don't know what to tell them, because these kids were petrified that if Trump wins, their family's going to have to leave the United States and they're going to be uprooted. And these are real fears of young children.
Based on what he said?
Exactly, because he said it. He said it, and now these children, and the children who, as Hillary's commercials were, our children are listening. These are the things that were said, the fear that was put into their parents' minds, the fear that then went to them. It is a real fear, and now they don't know what's going to happen. And they were nasty things, however he meant them to be, they came out the way they came out, and it was wrong.
That's why I think the country, I'm 60 years old. I have never seen the country like this before?
No.
I mean, at the day after
anger.
An election?
It's all based in anger.
You never had demonstrations in the cities.
I've never seen that in my life.
That
never.
Said, I'm not going to support this president.
I know.
And Hillary's still ahead in the popular vote.
I know that.
So it's not a mandate from the people. I guess
it's like 2000
a mandate
all over.
Of that we want change, and maybe it's the pendulum swinging back from years of accepting different groups.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it when we come back. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Well, Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And my good friend and partner, radio partner Lynn Evans, is off today. As Barbara said, she's in Boston for the day, getting a well-deserved honor. And Barbara, attorney Barbara J. O'Hara, who's on in the next segment for her wonderful practice of family law for 35 years, has joined me for the first two segments, sitting in for Lynn. Thank you, Barbara, for doing that. And we were beforehand talking about the election and the fact that Hillary Clinton lost and our thoughts on why. And as we went to break, I said to Barbara, we're probably never going to be able to change some men's opinion of that. But I think women have to be the ones to make those decisions, to change the way they think about it.
Sadly, if you talk to some women about why do they dislike Hillary Clinton, they won't come up with a rational reason. They'll just say, I don't like her.
And who cares? You
but
don't have
not gonna
to
vote
like
for
her.
But they're not going to vote for somebody.
I voted
really
for plenty of people who I don't like because I looked at what they did. I've even voted Republican, although my father would.
You did not.
Yes, I did. I did. I voted Republican once for president. Yes, I did. Ronald Reagan and whenever that was.
1980?
Yes. So, trust me, I've done that. But bottom line is, we have got to support. And the fact that where is or who is coming up that has the qualifications? Who?
Well, to be honest with you,
no one.
Qualifications hurt.
Yeah, I guess.
Because when you compare what happened to Hillary compared to what happened to Barack Obama, he had very little that he was running on. So you couldn't go after, well, what happened with Benghazi? What happened with this? What happened with that? And quite honestly, if you're Secretary of State, people are holding you to guaranteeing that nothing bad happens in the world. Well, God bless you. That's an impossible task.
Mm-hmm.
Because things will happen, and errors in judgment may happen, errors in policy, and your subordinates may make wrong decisions, and that's all on you. Nobody says, oh, you did a wonderful job today because nothing bad happened. You're in a position where you're only responsible for the things that go wrong. And it's a crazy world out there.
Yeah.
So,
well, all I hope is that, you do think about these stories. And like I said, the sadness and the gloomy day yesterday morning and then Katie McGinty losing. And my son, Sean, had been employed with her campaign. And he worked so hard and he was crushed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just sit there and you think, here is a young 22-year-old guy, young man.
What do you say to your kids?
What do you say to them? He's all in support for women because he's learned very well, and so has his other brother, Tommy, that this is not to be, that women need to be on the same playing field. And based on, again, I have to look at the qualifications. I don't think anyone should get anywhere just because they are. But if you are as qualified or above, why would we even have to worry about that? For jobs, for anything else, compare apples to apples.
Yes.
That's all.
We are both raising healthy males.
Yes, so they
women.
Understand that. I'm yes. not just saying this. The women are better than men. Men are better. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that no one is any better. We are equal in that regard. But if you're running for or being picked for something or getting a job, if you are qualified, why would you choose the unqualified person? Why? And this is a job. This is a job now he has for the next four years.
A very important job.
And we are like the employer because we've now decided who is going to do this. And quite frankly, it's, you know, funded through the government. So it is everybody's issue.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. I know, you know, people are afraid of the Second Amendment. That was never at stake. And if you listen to the things she spoke about, the people that Trump was saying she was about or not about, listen to what she said.
They weren't true.
Nothing was going to happen to the Second Amendment.
Each and every allegation he made of she's for this and she's for that and she's going to take away your guns, that's not true.
And the NRA didn't make it any easier anyway, what they say, because they're always afraid something's... It's not happening. No one wanted it to happen.
Right.
The only issue was, it's been talked about by most legislators, is these assault weapons and all
assault
these other
weapons
things.
Assault weapons and background checks.
Yeah, that's
what's
wrong with that.
It's hard to imagine anybody giving a rational reason for what's wrong with that. The only rational reason you see is they're thinking if there's one if there's more regulations, then it's a slippery slope and we're going to lose our guns.
Right.
Well, that's not a rational idea. And you look at this and say, you know, what's going on with assault weapons? No hunter should be hunting with an assault weapon. But, it's not like you're taking them away for any good rational reason. You're looking at this and saying,
it's fear.
Why are
but
we
see,
doing
they
this?
Put the fear, and I guess the bottom line is because people feel they don't trust her. That is, so when she says that's not what I'm doing, they don't want to trust what she's saying because they just blank. It's a blanket statement. I don't trust what she says. Right. And that's what.
But they do trust a client, a candidate,
a guy who has no military experience, no government experience, and he can't go in and run the government like he does a business. He can't.
No.
Because he's the leader of those businesses. He can say whatever he wants. He doesn't have to go through Congress or Senate to get what he wants done. He gets it done. Now this is totally different. Totally.
It is.
So I just want women to. And again, I want to say that don't give up on your dreams. If that's something you want to do and you believe it, go for it and keep striving and going ahead. There was on the Today Show, they had a school for girls. I think it was out in California. And these girls were all thrilled thinking that we were going to have the first president of the United States. And they send her a video. And, he said, Hillary, we're stronger together. And they're sending it to her. And those, mm-hmm. You see the look on these kids' faces. And the one little girl at the end said, we'll look for hope and we'll keep. And that's all we have. We do. We have hope. We have to hope that he now makes the right decisions. And let's hope he does. And you don't have to, as somebody said last night, you don't have to respect the person, you have to respect the office and that is the position, and that's what you have to do. So it's just really hard to do that. But we'll see what happens.
It's really hard.
And it's heartbreaking because.
I hope he surrounds himself with people of good judgment.
Me too. So we'll see what happens.
Because it scares me to say, if he's saying, if we have nukes, why are we not using them?
Yeah, that is scary, and that he has his finger. So women out there, please, if you're listening, support women. Help them get where they need to get. You are who we're fighting for. People have fought for years and years and years and years for equality and where we are. And I loved they went to Susan B. Anthony's.
I saw that.
Did you see that? And they stuck because of you and we vote for her.
Right.
I thought that
were putting their stickers up.
Stickers on her grave, on her tombstone. I know. I love it.
Nice.
This is the reason so many women before us have fought and fought and fought for us to be where we are today. And we need to keep doing that and supporting each other.
And Lynn, I'm sorry, Lori. I don't think that younger women necessarily appreciate what women have done
because
put them
in their
plate.
It's been different for them
in their situation,
mm-hmm.
And that lots of people have made lots of sacrifices for you to get there,
mm-hmm.
And people don't realize the history of that and don't appreciate what's happened. Because
they don't. People would say that about our generation. Well, you didn't know what we went before, and you weren't washing clothes on a washboard, and you weren't. Yeah, no, I know.
That's
but
true.
I can still appreciate the hard work you've done before this, before
yes.
There were washing machines and different things that my grandmother used to tell me those stories. We didn't have washers, Larry. We had a washboard that you would have to do in the sink and hang it, blah, blah, and the way you used to have to iron. And I said, oh, my God, like you can't even think
didn't
about it.
Didn't you have to iron as a young girl?
Yeah, iron, but not the way they did. I mean, that old where they heated
that
hard,
that
yeah.
would be awful.
But I didn't like to. I didn't iron as a young girl, Barbara. I was terrible at it. My grandmother was great.
I didn't say I was good at it, but my mother used to make me do an hour of ironing every day in the summer.
No.
And if I did anything wrong, I had to do 2 hours. So it was.
That is a punishment. It is.
And I have to admit, I still have that concept of ironing being punishment in my head.
Do you do it? Do you like to do it? Do you
like? No, I do it because I have to.
Ugh, no, I hate it.
But I don't like it.
I hate it. I will try it. My kids are good at it. My son, Tommy, excellent. I hate it.
My son's in the Air Force Academy, and he irons everything.
Well, see, he
so we were with him
trained,
at the West Point game, and we're in the hotel room, and we're chatting as he's ironing. And I'm thinking, this is so funny.
Uh-huh.
Because here's my 21-year-old.
Because you used to do it for him, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Here's my 21-year-old ironing everything he's wearing. And
did he do
hilarious.
A good job?
Of course he did.
Yes, see.
Yeah, they have to.
I know.
Shine your shoes and
make
iron
your bed
your clothes
and flip the quarter and the whole thing. I know. I had something.
Or else they flip it.
I just don't. There's just something about it. I just can't stand it.
So how have you gotten over this?
What? The election?
The election.
I thought you meant ironing.
No.
I just keep trying to stay hopeful. I can't say positive because I think I go negative on Trump a little bit at times. I don't want to because I want to be able to give him a fair shake, but I can't help but to do that. And then when I read other stuff, and I guess I don't have to, I just want, my heart breaks that Hillary did not win. It just breaks.
I do.
And I just do feel in a speech and talking to young children and young girls and...
But it wouldn't be so bad if it was someone that was likable.
Yeah,
but he's not likable to you.
So not, I don't know. I mean,
it's hard to respect someone
it really
that doesn't
is.
Respect other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on his behavior the whole time. It's hard to, how do you condone that kind of bullying and negativity and just, I don't even care about the politically correct stuff. I get sometimes this world is way too politically correct on certain things, but some of the stuff he's saying was just downright mean. There's just no reason for it. So, and I always leave, you know, I always end the show by saying be safe and be nice. And I really do don't, that's why I'm trying not to be nice about
but
this,
know what,
but
and,
I can't
and
help
you
it.
Were seeing people get angrier
yeah.
and that there was much more division than in a normal election. And I think that was coming from him. He would say something ridiculously awful, you know, making fun of minorities or making fun of John McCain or Gold Star families.
Do that?
Like, how do you even do that?
I know that. That was horrible.
And it was just so repulsive to most people.
Yeah.
That you look at this
to
and
most
say...
normal people. You know, that's... Who wants to hear that?
I mean, but there's a certain sense of commonality for human decency.
Exactly.
And he would not just go over the line, but he would... He'd go a mile over the line.
I know.
And you say, how do you put up with that?
Right. And that's not politically incorrect. That's just, right, lack of decency. It just is. So, I don't know.
So now to say, okay, let's forget all that.
Yeah, forget I said it. Let's move on and be happy. And
but
be
it brings you back to, I can say anything or do anything.
I want.
Just to get votes.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, in 4 years, will those same people who voted for him, I mean,
and is that
how
what people were waiting
they?
For? That they finally got off their rear ends and went out and voted? Because they wanted someone this nasty and negative and just the fear that he provoked? Is that what it took to get you to vote? I don't understand that. Why? That's what it took. This person and what he represents and what he said and did in this election is what it took for you to get out and vote. Because he's got no other experience in it. What that? Because you don't want the political establishment. I don't get it.
So but I would hope that all of us now try to recover from the election.
And let's see what he's going to do. Sit back, as Garrison Keillor said. Let's sit back, eat grapes, walk long, and the Democrats sit back and watch what he's going to do. And that's the good way to look at it. Just chill and let it go.
Okay.
Go, you know, have at it, Donald. That's what we're going to say. So anyway, we're going to take another quick break. You're listening this morning to the Laurie and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Laurie Cadden. I'm the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And you're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. Lynn Evans, my radio partner, is off today. And who's been with me all morning is the lovely attorney Barbara J. O'Hara, who is one of our guest experts. And Barb is up next because we're going to be talking a lot about social media. And just to give you a little background on Barbara, Barbara's been in the practice of family law for about 35 years now. She's a partner with Hughes, Nichols, and O'Hara and Dunn. Dunmore. And Barbara has been with us now for many years, and we're grateful and thankful for that, Barb.
My pleasure.
So let's talk a little bit. Before we do, one thing I just want to mention. Last night, a woman I know who owns a gift store, and she's a woman in business, and we always support, Lynn and I always try to do that. It's a place called La Tida, and it used to be up across near next to Burger King on the highway in Dixon City.
Did she move?
And she moved down to this mall at Steamtown, and she said she absolutely loves it. So that's another thing. Last night she had a trunk sale on this beautiful jewelry called Mariana, and it is an Israeli designer. And the stuff is beautiful. And so we were in there, a friend of mine and I went in because we have some pieces, and we went to the trunk show, and she said, I just wish, you know, the word, I said, do people know you have all this? She said, not some people, but, you know, not all. So I said, I'll just mention it on the show that she's right in the mall on the first floor, and
sort of where,
if you get off the escalator, mm-hmm. if you go down towards the middle, what do they call that, escalator is,
yeah.
Center Court. A mm-hmm. little bit before that on the right-hand side. She's on the Lackawanna side of the mall on the
very
first
nice.
Floor. And the jewelry's beautiful. So if you ever feel
very
like you
nice.
Want to do something and see it, go see it. I always try to promote my friends and their businesses. So anyway, I was just there, so that's why I said it. But anyway, Barbara, we were talking about social media. And
yes,
I guess
coming
how it
up
affects,
an election. Coming yeah. up an election where,
does this ever,
where the bullying.
What happens in your business
in
with
my
anything?
Business,
any of
it
this?
Has changed dramatically. I've been practicing for 35 years. And years and years and years ago when I started, people might have a picture that might incriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, particularly with the millennials, they have posted all their life online. So they post where they're drinking. They post what they're doing. They post pictures of themselves drinking to excess or saying nasty things to each other. And unfortunately, the nasty things they say to the mother or father of their children, and they get into these horribly ugly exchanges that now you're in a custody court. And you, as the attorney, are now faced with these are the text messages that your client sent. And they're horrible. They are things that no one should say. Absolutely, positively no one. And you look at this, and now you have to justify your client's bad behavior. And some of it is so reprehensible, it's really, really hard to justify that. So what happens, Lori, is...
What do you tell them?
When you
meet with them, do you start out by telling them that? Or
I
do you
start
wait
out,
until you
the
see
first
something
appointment,
happen?
I yeah. tell them to stay off social media. I tell them not to exchange any text or anything in writing with the other parent, whether it's their spouse or the father of their child or mother of their child. And I tell them that. And in fact, with some young people, I've made them get off, and I made them sign something that they were going to get off, because nothing good ever comes of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never used it for a good purpose. I've used it in cases to prove just how awful this is or how much this person drinks. You know, when they swear in court and say, I don't drink at all, Judge, or I only drink socially, and then they put themselves at
dancing
all these
on the
different,
bars.
different bars. Or one case I had, the guy had a pyramid of beer cans and his young son standing there.
Oh, man.
And you look at this and say, what were you thinking? And obviously they weren't thinking.
Right.
But that behavior comes back and hurts you. And what do people do now? They post their whole life up there.
Mm-hmm.
They post everything they're thinking. And, you know, it used to be that you didn't have this immediate response time like you do now. And years ago, you might say, okay, fine, I just got this nasty message. And yes, voicemail can be used against you because you know you're being recorded.
That's
oh yes, you know you're being recorded. If I leave a message on an answering machine,
oh, it's only if you don't know you're being recorded.
If you don't know you're being recorded, it can't be used.
All right,
but if you do,
then you know.
So if I leave a nasty message on a voicemail,
right?
Obviously, I knew I was being recorded. It's intentional recording.
Okay.
And if I'm stupid enough to leave a nasty message, then that's going to be used against me too. And people save those things, and people record them, and now you have to justify it. So I tell all of my clients, whatever you put in print should not have any expletives. It should not have anything vulgar in it. It should not even not be mean or derogatory or say anything bad, wish them any bad. Nothing. If you can't put it on a billboard and justify it to your mother or your first grade teacher,
don't do it.
And they do it every single day. And every case I have, there's something of, this is what text I got from the other parent. And they're horribly awful. So you really and truly have to look at this and say, could I justify making this statement? And no, it is not, the standard is not, well, they called me a blank, and therefore I called them a blank. No, you need to show restraint. And if the other person made a nasty comment about you, maybe you just don't say anything. Because nothing good will come of you saying something back. It's very difficult for your attorney to justify why you said something that bad.
So even in retaliation, you just can't do it. It doesn't matter who started it.
Right. You know what? It's like refereeing a fight between two toddlers. And yes, you know, for interest factor, you could look and see what did the first toddler do, but then the second toddler did something bad too. And yes, it might have been that the other parent instigated it, but you don't need to keep that up. You don't need to keep up bad behavior. You can just walk away and not say anything bad. If somebody says something bad to you in a text, maybe you need to cool off and calm down and not respond. You don't have to be instantaneous on sending back a nasty text. Or it might be, okay, I will pick them up at 4. You don't need to respond to the bait. And quite honestly, I see with clients, if they don't respond to the bait, sometimes the baiting stops.
Does it ever intensify because they're not? You know how it's like that you're being passive aggressive by not paying attention?
Well, to be honest with you, the court system doesn't look at somebody and say, you didn't retaliate. Oh, shame on you.
Yeah.
So does it cause the person who instigated this to intensify? Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
And they only look worse.
Sets in with,
they only look worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's a constant baiting of trying to get the other person to say something bad and the other person just responds based on what's necessary information, I'll pick them up at 6. That's all that you needed to say. You didn't need to respond in an ugly, comparable vein. Just exercise some restraint. Years ago, people used to say, if you want to write a nasty letter, you dictate the letter, keep it in your desk, and the next morning you'd read it again and say, is this really something I want to send? And more likely than not, you wouldn't. Because you'd look at this and say, you know, I wrote that in a fit of anger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the instantaneous society we have now, if they don't get a text back right away, it's like, you know, then you get 29 texts saying, respond. Yes, you can respond. But respond just based on what custody exchange information you need to have. Not something nasty. Because really and truly, it will come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
I know.
Barbara, you would really be surprised. You must be disgusted then when you tell them, and then it's like being their mother saying, I told you not to do this. Like,
I know, and you don't really want to scold people because you're representing them.
But it's screwing everything up.
It is.
Yeah.
And you look at this and you try to reason with people and say, this isn't helping your case. Because obviously there's an objective you want to have. You want to... You know, you love your child. You want to spend time with your child. You're letting this anger get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it really promotes a really ugly relationship. And I'm seeing that intensify because of the instantaneous conversation.
Right.
I mean, yes, somebody could say something nasty to you. That's pretty commonplace. But when you respond in kind, it just escalates the fight to a point where they're calling each other horrible things. And it's really hard for the attorney to justify why you did that. And when your texts are now printed off and a judge is looking at them, You both look bad.
I mean, this social media has been now a tool for attorneys to not have to hire private investigators in some way. Right?
I haven't because hired it's a right private there. Investigator in years because people publicize all the stuff they're doing. They tell you, I have a case coming up where the woman's been cheating on her husband for 6 years, and she professes her love to this other guy that I've been with for 6 years. And you look at that, and you would think, what rational person would ever do that? You've been married to somebody else for the last three. But that's
what
people are doing.
Well, there are people who have to put everything they do on Facebook.
Well,
they get up in the morning instantly, or they do this.
I don't care what you had for breakfast.
I know, but
nobody
people do
else
that.
In the world cares what you
either.
Had for breakfast.
Why? Who needs it though? It's an addiction now, right?
It is an addiction. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And the clients that I'll tell to get off Facebook, they'll jump back on as soon as their case is over.
Oh yeah, of course.
So, whatever. You know what? As long as it's not adversely affecting.
But is it just Facebook? What about texting and stuff like that? It's all the same thing.
Texting's the worst. And I've had people put on adverse decisions that happened against them and badmouth a judge right on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
And you look at that and say, this has to be one of the stupidest things you'll ever do. And fortunately, it wasn't my client. It was the other side. We had another hearing in front of the same judge 3 weeks later.
Did the judge know?
Yes.
And did they mention it?
I mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay,
well,
that would make sense.
It does.
And what does the judge do?
Judges are people, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So does that make you look good? No.
No.
You know, maybe you got some kind of satisfaction out of lashing out at a judge on the internet. I never really think that's a smart idea because in some counties, it's a one-judge county.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go up in front of that same judge and you're going to expect a favorable result and maybe not get it.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, really and truly, I mean, a judge is going to take the whole thing and decide credibility. And if in your last case you put something very bad about the judge out on social media, I think that's not too smart.
Mm-hmm.
So please, everyone, get your holiday schedules in order, your custody schedules, because the last thing in the world you want to do is be in custody court the day before Thanksgiving or the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. The courts are clogged with
who's going where? Is Johnny and Susie going with father, mother?
And it sucks the joy out of the holiday for everyone.
I know.
So get your schedules ready. Even if you think you might have plans, firm them up now.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is 2 weeks away.
Okay, and make your deals. And you don't want to call an attorney Thanksgiving week and say, we don't have any custody plans.
Mm-hmm.
Rush into court and do this.
Yeah.
And the same for Christmas. So confirm your plans now.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do they get in touch with you, Barbara?
I can be reached at 570-344-7171. And I'm located at 1421 East Drinker Street in Dunmore, PA, on the corner of Tig and Drinker.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for sitting in for Lynn.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Have a great weekend, everybody. And women, be nice to women. Support each other. And be safe and be nice. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.